I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Snowy morning today here in Wisconsin, and we welcome you to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. As you know, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. This is a live show. And so, yeah, we're going to talk fishing and hunting, but we're also going to talk about some wild stuff because, you know, the crazy train sometimes falls off the rails once in a while. 799-1250 is the phone number. The phone lines are open, and you can give us a call at 414-799-1250 or email us on the Smokey's inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And our new host, our new full-time producer. Yes, thank you. Producer for the show is Sam Schmitz. So we welcome Sam here in the studio today. Good morning, Danny.
Well, maybe a name you can remember.
Yeah. Easy. We'll remember Sam Schmitz.
Yeah, you were with us before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, multiple times. Yeah. Probably like, I don't know, 3-4 times before.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
He's been here before, but now we'll see him every week.
You know who's going to miss our show the most, Tom?
Who's going to miss our show, Danny? Yeah, Nick Bodie. He got a kick out of it.
He liked being here, I think.
He did.
He's probably in Madison right now listening online.
Yes, he is. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get up this early now. He might. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, he will be listening online.
He'll be listening on the podcast.
10 minutes to 8.
Yeah.
10 minutes
so,
to 8, yeah.
Anyway, so what's with this weather, Danny? What's with this? October is not supposed to be have snow. We're not supposed to have snow in October.
Yeah, so what? Who cares?
Ice anglers are really getting they're getting geared up early, it seems like, with the cold weather and the snow. That it's like, there's thoughts of ice fishing.
Do you have your ice fishing stuff in?
Yeah, well, I've got last year's stuff out, okay, already. The new stuff is in the back room. It just hasn't been checked in and put onto the shelves yet.
So what I want you to – last year I decided that I've got my 10-inch power auger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good one. It's got the old Tecumseh motor on it, yeah. And – and I was having problems with it, and I told our listeners a couple of years ago, best investment if your old Jiffy is running rough, get the little tune-up kit, which consists of a hotter burning spark plug compared to the original Champion one that they recommended 20 years ago.
Right.
And also they got the special oil that you can mix, and I had it back running like a champ. That's all it took. I didn't have to. And I had actually ordered a new carburetor for it, which I did receive, and it's still sitting in the box because I did not.
Turned out you didn't need it.
And I had to find that carburetor from some lawnmower repair shop in Arkansas that specialized in small engine parts because the motor's so old.
Yeah.
And trying to go through the codes to figure out which carburetor you needed for your Jiffy.
Yeah.
You know how many different Jiffies and carburetors there are out there? They got like 20 numbers
they've been around
and letters,
a long time.
Letters and well, as far as I guess it's not the Jiffy, it's the Tecumseh
engines. The engine. Yeah.
So you'd look at these codes, right? And like I say, it's like five digits and 20 letters, And if one letter is off or one digit, it's, oh, that's not the right carburetor for
that's
yours.
Right. That's right.
So I think I bought the right carburetor. I got it. So, like, if I ever need it, but I probably won't. I'll probably outlive, that Jiffy will outlive me, because once I used that kit, it ran great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is a heavy auger, Tom, and I like to go set up tip-ups right outside my deluxe shanty, which mm-hmm. is my place right on the lake, and look through the window.
Right.
And so lugging that big auger out there, especially when it's slippery glare ice.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. One time I was walking out there, and my feet went straight up in the air, and I landed flat on my back.
I remember you telling us about that.
Yes, holding that auger. And I held the head, the heavy part, the engine part was by me, and I held that to keep it from smashing into the...
Right,
I was stronger back then. I don't think I'd recover from that blow. I landed on my back, and then I laid there a second thinking, am I anything broken? Yeah. And then I started laughing.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at my own fall.
It's your own folly.
My own folly. I thought, that was a good one. But anyway, I wanted to get a 8-inch laser to just walk on out there, and that way I could just, you know, go right through. And if I'm not going to drill a whole bunch of holes, and I want 8-inch because I'm trying to catch pike, right. And last year I got a 44-inch muskie. You know, you don't want to have a little hole. Do you think by the time I got my butt to every store in town, there were any 8-inch lasers left?
There weren't any left.
None.
No.
Zero zilch. There were some 6.
I think
I found a 7 at Fleet Farm. They were gone.
Yeah. A 7 would work, too. A 7 would work, you know, even on a big pike. 7.
I didn't want to go spend the money on a 7 when I don't want a 7.
When you really wanted an
8. So
yeah,
I waited till now.
Yeah.
So do you have them in yet?
No, we won't have. We've got 5-inch, 6-inch, and I think we have a 7-inch. But I think we're mainly 5s and 6 inches. You see, I'm going to be really honest with you.
Okay.
And with our audience, we don't sell a lot of augers because Fleet Farm's prices are so darn good. I'm sorry. They just are.
Well, they are the big box, and they typically they'll start them out at, you know, $99.99, but then they'll have one of their big weekend
have a
sales,
sale. Yep.
And that's when I got there post sale.
Yeah.
And they knock them down by $20. How do you guys make any?
Well, we do that at the end of the year, but at the end of the year, usually everybody has what they want. You know?
And I could have bought an 8-inch from you 2 years ago when you guys had a sale.
Right.
And it was the end of the season, and I thought, nah, wait till next year. So I've been putting this off.
Yeah.
The bottom line, I don't care if I spend $20 more. I'm not waiting for a doggone sale.
I can always order one for you.
Can you order one for me?
I can always order one for you, Danny. Yeah, I can do that. You know, here's the other thing about those lasers. I mean, there's a lot of manual augers out there, but I got my laser back in, I think it was around 1994. So it's a while ago, right?
Right.
I never had those blades sharpened.
It's a laser now?
It's the laser, yep. Never had it sharpened. My son Nick has been using it. My son Chris was using it for years. Now Nick has it, and he uses constantly. If you put that guard on it all the time and you take care of it and you don't open up old holes with it and all that, those blades will literally almost last forever. Like I said, since 94, we have not sharpened it, and it works great.
See,
my
old Jiffy, I had a couple 8-inch Jiffies, and I was constantly replacing blades on those.
For you?
What would happen is if you're drilling and you hit one stick in the ice, or if you're in shallow water and you all of a sudden go down and hit the sand or one rock, it'll throw, one of the blades will be off, and it'll be like drilling sideways with it.
Yep.
And I remember I'd taken 6 ibuprofen and wrapping my elbows up with ace bandages and drinking 3 beers and gritting my teeth as I drilled through 20 inches of ice on Lake Geneva just to get through.
That's
and
crazy with a manual.
I would not be able to do that now. I was in my 30s then, and it was a pain.
With a manual ice auger, 20 inches, that's hard. With anything, you know.
I was on a Bay of Green Bay. I'd be literally down to my knees by the time I was done, sweating like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm too old to work that hard.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, new ice anglers, people who have always used a power auger.
Right.
Once they use a manual auger, they find, I don't know, they have pains in places that they didn't know they had places of, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're not using that motion
right.
in regular everyday life, you know, and right. how you do that auger.
Maybe I'll go to the gym. I'll go to the gym and see some dude doing with the bands, doing some kind of weird thing. Oh, must be a fisherman practicing.
Yeah, you should invent something, invent some workout that's like using a manual auger.
I was thinking of inventing, you could invent something for casting a rod.
Yeah.
You could invent something for reeling with your hand. You could invent the bull archery pole type thing that you could make sports outdoor enthusiast specific exercises.
That would be a good idea. You know, seriously, that would be.
Yeah, but nobody would ever join your gym just to go work out that stuff.
You could sell them. You could sell them.
Nah, somebody will think, I don't need to use your machine. I can just improvise doing this.
What do you got on the line there, Sam?
We got Dennis in Kenosha. You were on the fan.
All right. Hey, Dennis. Good morning.
How are you, Tom?
Hey, me and Danny are doing fine on this chilly Saturday morning. What are you up to this morning?
Nothing yet. I just got up.
Oh, well, good morning.
I have a question for these you great fishing minds. I recently started using these jigging Rapalas in open water.
Yeah.
And I've had pretty good success here in southeast Kenosha, or southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Out at Lake Delavan. A couple of times, it's let me down more than it's paid off. But it's an interesting way to fish, and I know there's some lakes in Waukesha County that have really healthy walleye populations, but they've got restrictive limits.
Right.
But there's a lot of walleyes in them, and the best lakes that I find or that I've read and watched YouTube videos for this method is our lakes where the walleyes are going to be over 20 feet deep and more rocky bottom versus weeds, because these jigging Rapalas are just a hunk of lead and they just boom.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be in the weeds immediately, but you can, you know, you let them hit the bottom and you snap them off and repeat. So the question is, which lakes, a couple of lakes in Waukesha County that are nice and, you know, similar to Delavan, where they've had some nice deep rock, rock, you know, mud, weed, all that transition areas.
You don't find a lot of those in southeastern Wisconsin, just because me and Danny have talked before about eutrophic lakes and all that, you know, where the lakes around here have more weeds than let's say rock and gravel bottoms. But I would recommend, now that is one method, you know, the jigging wraps. Now, are you talking winter fishing or summer fishing?
Summer fishing, open water.
Oh, open water fishing. You know, there's a lot of other lures to use if you want to do that method, like the Acme Castmasters are real good for that too.
Right.
But, you know, I'm still of the old school where I'm either going to use a jig and a minnow or a jig and a half a crawler or a jig and a leech or what I started doing this year after Danny told me what they were doing on in Pewaukee was the
drop shot
with live bait instead of plastics, you know, and I've been doing a lot of that, and that is awesome. That works fantastically well. But one lake that I would recommend, that especially for next year, is Pewaukee. Pewaukee is going to, it has a lot of walleyes in it now. And next year, there's going to be so many legal ones that are going to be 18 inches or better. That guys are catching them this year like crazy.
How about the shiver minnow, Tom?
That shiver minnow, that's kind of like the jig and wrap.
Right.
That's basically the
same
thing.
But you want to use that primarily, it sounds like Dennis is saying, from what he reads or sees, that you want to use that in rocky transition,
clear
deep bottom areas.
Yeah, you've seen guys use them on TV, like up in Shaguamagon Bay. Where they've got that type of structure, you know. Yeah. So down here, though, you're not going to find a lot of that.
It's mostly sandy bottom, isn't it?
In up the
deep,
there,
once you get past in our lakes here, 20 feet deep or more.
Right. Yeah.
Because I bounce bottom, and I really don't come up with, I really don't feel like I'm really banging rocks necessarily.
No, you don't see a lot of rocks around these lakes around here in deep water. And a lot of our deeper water and a lot of the lakes have a lot of sand grass, you know, that comes up an inch or two, which really shouldn't be that much of a problem. But you know what? You know, you've tried that one. There are other ones to try. And I'll tell you, another one that works great is for doing that type of motion, that jigging motion you're talking about, is those by Kalen, that
Lunker Grub.
It looks like a minnow. What the heck is the name of that thing?
Jerk minnow.
Yeah, jerk minnow. Thank
is
you.
Is that it?
Yeah, the jerk minnow on a jig. That works great. You see Gillespie using that all the time. And you know what? He's not joking. Yeah, it does work. Yeah, I've been using that, too.
Plus they're paying them to use it.
Well, yeah, that, too. But it does work, yeah, without a doubt.
How about Lake Oconomowoc? I just did a little research. And,
Don't go to Oconomowoc if you want walleyes. No.
Or
no.
Or why? Or Lac La Belle, I see.
Yeah, sure. You can go to Lake La Belle, and but you can't keep one unless it's over 28 inches, so you ain't going to be keeping any.
I'm not worried about keeping
them. Well, then, if you're not worried about it, Lake La Belle is great.
Yeah,
you'll catch a lot of them
just on a jigging minnow there,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, you'll catch a ton of walleyes out there. Another real good one is Oconomowoc Lake. A lot of walleyes in that lake, and legal ones, too. Yeah.
I thought you said don't do Oconomowoc. Did
no,
you mean
Okachi.
To say Okachi?
I meant to say Okachi. Okay. Sorry, Danny.
All right.
Sorry, Dennis. Yeah. Yeah, don't go to Okachi. There's not enough walleyes there.
He didn't mean to confuse you.
Yeah, but Oconomowoc Lake... what do you call it? Lake La Belle, like you said, Pewaukee. Yeah, those lakes all
have
lots.
And there are some deep rocky areas, just specific small spots. If you got the good electronics,
you can
probably find some spots, but it's not like you're going to have vast expanses of rocky bottom.
Right.
Yeah, but these are, that's fishing. It's not, they're not always spread all over the lake.
That's right. Well, like Al Linder once said, 90% of the fish are in 10% of the lake. Hey, listen, we got to run, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep, all right. Good luck, guys.
See ya. Bye. Oh, yeah, we got to go to a quick break, so stay tuned for more right here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Old one, Danny. I really like this song. I do. Johnny Cash. Turn that up a little bit.
Riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
You know, you can listen to Johnny Cash old songs forever.
I know. And he's got such a unique voice. He wasn't a great singer, you know, but he has such a unique voice, you know. It's just unique. It's different.
I like his the Folsom...
Prison Blues?
Prison,
Folsom Prison Blues.
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. I think he actually did go to Folsom Prison and perform that live.
He did a show,
I think he did it without any, like, special security or anything. He just went in there. They loved him there, man.
Yeah, he did another one at another prison, a live show. He did Folsom, and there was one other one he did. I can't remember which one it was, but he did a couple of, you know, if you go on YouTube and look at the different ones, you'll find them on there, you know. And it was very interesting,
Plus, he had the great intro where he'd say, hello. What would he say? I'm Johnny Cash.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Everybody came to the Johnny Cash concert. They know he's Johnny Cash.
Yeah, but he's
still so cool. He says, I'm Johnny Cash.
Yeah. He's got to say, he was cool. That was it.
Yeah.
And he was the
Johnny
first.
Johnny Cash was cool.
You know, he always wore black, right?
Right.
And he actually did a song about why he wore black. And you'd have to listen to it. It had something to do with the military.
Okay.
Yeah, about honoring men and women who had lost their lives in war. It was something to do with that, about the military. But yeah, but he always wore that black out, you know.
Yep.
Always wearing black. But anyway, that's enough.
Okay,
moving right along.
Into the hunting and fishing segment.
Guys are buying their deer licenses. Did you get your deer license yet, Danny?
I bought my, you know, some people get the, you know, years ago, Tom. When I was like a young youth of about 16, back then you could get the sportsman's license, and I think it was about $30 and it had everything. And when I say everything, mm-hmm. it was everything.
Yeah.
Since that time, they've morphed off into the whatever this big license for $100 some bucks, but it doesn't include your pheasant stamp or this stamp or that
whatever.
Stamp.
Yeah, yeah.
It got to the point where, you know, I don't know what is it, patron's license?
That's the one. Where
would
you
that have all the stamps? Would have that?
Yeah.
Is one, I don't know if one of them has everything really.
That one does. I think that one does. And that one's like.
Does it have the goose, the HIPAA, all that crap?
Yeah,
because
I think it's like $165.
I don't know. One of our, you know who would know?
I know. Yeah, Mr. Al Shook.
Al Shook would know.
Well, maybe this person would know, too,
well,
who's
Al's
on the line.
Al's a wealthy landowner. No, he's not a wealthy landowner from Douglas County. But
Joe in Monaco, Wisconsin.
Oh, Joe in Monaco. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm good.
Good. Hey, I want to start off by saying thank you, Tom, for signing that book for my wife.
Oh, so, yeah. Your wife, I brought that into the show. I don't know if you heard it or not.
Oh, I sure did.
I had a show.
I was worried that I sent flowers and cards.
Yeah, but she was worried about that.
Yeah, I was a little worried here. At least I didn't smell any perfume on it.
Well, I showed him the outside of it first, and then that's when he thought that. And I said, now, wait a minute, you know, because it was from your wife. And that was very nice of your wife to send that.
That, yes.
Oh, yeah, she enjoys the show. Well, she's sleeping right now, so she's not enjoying it as much as I am.
Okay. Well, smart woman. Wake up for the last 10 minutes.
Up with you boys in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I know some people set their alarm.
Bring up
what's today, that?
I don't know if you guys have heard, but up here in Oneida County, Wisconsin, they're giving out what's called surveillance tag, CWD surveillance tag.
What is a surveillance
tag? I did
tag?
Hear something about that.
Okay, now, what that means is if you own property or if you hunt on public land, they give you free deer tags. They're either antlerless or antlered. And the only stipulation is you have to bring the head into them.
Okay.
Now, they will arrange, if you shoot a real nice buck or something, they will arrange to have somebody come out and just cut out the lymph nodes or whatever they need.
Yeah.
In order to make the assessment. But just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, I heard something about that, Joe. And, you know, from what I'm guessing is it's the purpose is probably twofold. Number one, they want to get more, you know, get a handle on how prevalent it is because
more information, exactly.
Right, because most people just, I'd say the majority of people, vast majority, still don't bother getting their deer tested. I got mine tested last year for the first time ever because it was so easy. Yeah, because it was so easy. I just went to Schnitzler's Sport Shop in Sparta, Wisconsin, and a guy comes out there and takes a sample for me. In fact, I think he I can't remember if he cut the head off for me or what he did, but then you get a number, and 10 days later, or, you know, a couple weeks at most, you find out whether it tested positive. So I guess they're getting people to get them tested so they get a better handle on it. Plus, maybe they figure there's too many deer with CWD in that area, and they're trying to knock them down a bit.
Yeah, I have never had a deer test positive for CWD.
Yeah, I haven't either. You know, the interesting thing, couple interesting things with it, though. I think one thing I've heard is that a deer can be asymptomatic, or it can take 6 months for them to be able to detect it, so you could have an infected deer, but it's not going to show up on a test because they recently were infected.
So, like, let's say HIV or AIDS, it can carry the virus or the disease, but it could take so long for it to show up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I gather. But I don't know. If I shoot a big, healthy deer, healthy-looking deer, and I get it tested and it tests negative, I'm not worried about it. I still follow the precautions of wearing the rubber gloves when I clean it. I'm not necessarily eating the heart or the liver or organs. And I'm not, you know, I'm just, you know, just going to eat the meat. I think if you take precautions, the odds are like winning. I mean, you probably got as much chance of getting, you know, CWD from eating a deer as you do a winning Powerball.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, boys, I really think that if you knew what was going on in those slaughterhouses to get pigs or
oh yeah
or, or cows or whatever, you'd feel a lot more comfortable about eating your deer meat.
Yeah, right. That's right. I think I mentioned that last week. Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah, that's right. You're exactly right. If they ever saw the diseases in all the animals that we do eat from the grocery store, oh, yeah.
Cook your meat thoroughly, handle it right, and enjoy that steak, my friend.
Well, Joe, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
And thanks again, guys. I really appreciate everything you do on Saturday morning.
Well, all right.
Well, we always have fun doing it. That's why we're here.
It sucks getting up to come on in, but it's okay once I'm sitting here.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Joe. Say hi to your wife for us.
Good luck hunting.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
Okay. Yep. Thanks. Bye now. I'll tell you, you know, when I showed you that when I, you know, signed the book and sent it back to him, I just wish I knew then what I know now. You know what I mean? You know, because as you get older and you fish a lot more, you just learn a lot more. And
what do you know now that you didn't know then?
Oh, a lot. I'm learning. I'm learning
my
every year.
Mine is only relates to girls when I was 16, 17 years old and what a bonehead I was. Why didn't I ask her out?
Yeah. And now Sam, our producer, he doesn't have that problem. Good looking guy, you know, young, good looking. What college did you go to?
I went to UW-Milwaukee.
UW-Milwaukee, see? Yeah. Going to a good college, you know. I bet you got all kinds of girlfriends.
Well, Tom, no
what?
Difference.
No?
Listen, Sam, like anybody, will be your age someday and look back and say, I wish I knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody does that.
Exactly.
About whatever it's hunting, fishing, whatever, you always look back at points in your life and think, oh, boy, I really messed that up. How could I have thought? What a bonehead I was.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm already doing it.
I like the next morning.
If you don't have a girlfriend now, we'll find you one. We'll find you a gal out
there.
What are
you talking about,
Tom? No, wait,
Tom?
We're going to find him a gal who's got a boat, and she'll take you fishing.
There ain't no girls.
I'm not opposed to it.
Dream on, Strebeck.
All right. Hey, listen, folks, we got to go to break. Coming up next is the Gut Report. Now, listen, if you don't catch everything on the Gut Report, you can podcast it. But there's a new podcast, Sam.
Don't ask Tom
to send you
because that would involve typing more than three digits.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's a fumble finger there. He can't even text.
That's right. I can, but not on my phone, I can't. But what's that? There's a new app you can go to get all the podcasts from the station.
The radio.com app, or are you talking about our website?
No, not our website, but you can go to radio.com, and or you can go to 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
And
On Demand.
Fan on Demand. That's, I think, what I was thinking of.
Fan
on Demand.
Presented by John Paul.
And
Andaman.
Yeah, there you go.
I went 100 in Greenfield.
Yeah. All right.
Why don't they just go to the website, Tom? Why do you got to make it so confusing here?
I'm trying not to. But there's another one. There's a new one out
He's
there.
He's talking about stuff he...
I heard it on
even
the radio.
Know. He's talking about stuff he doesn't even know about,
I heard
Sam.
It. I heard
He's
it.
He's asking you.
I heard it.
Throwing out stuff at you.
I heard it, and then I was supposed to write it down to remember to bring it up, and I forgot.
Throw it at the wall. Maybe it'll stick.
All right.
Just go to the website.
799-1250. Call us if you got any questions or comments. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz on the boards. We'll be right back.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly!
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. This is from Susie Curtis. You can always find her recipes in On Wisconsin Outdoors magazine, which is free at a lot of establishments all over the state.
Dick Ellis's magazine.
Now, this is a good one, folks. This is for if you like wild rice, and I know a lot of people do, but try this. First of all, take 2 cups of wild rice and cook it the way they tell you to cook it. Okay, that's number one. Then in another pan, melt 1 stick of butter and add a quarter of a cup of chopped green pepper, 1 cup of chopped onion, and 1 cup of chopped celery, or 1/2 cup of green pepper, excuse me. Then you cook the vegetables slowly until done. Add the vegetables to the wild rice. Then fry 1/2 pound of bacon and crumble it and throw that in there. Put in, where is this here? Oh, put in 1 cup of chicken broth. Mix everything. Put it into a casserole dish and bake it for about 40 minutes at 325. And, man, I'm telling you, it's awesome. You know, bacon doesn't hurt anything. Bacon's good with anything.
Did you actually do that, Tom?
Not yet.
Okay, you're just reading your favorite. You're reading the recipe.
No, I was.
How do you know it's awesome?
And I was going to tell people. Well, because I've had something like this.
Can't believe it, Sam.
No, I've had something like this.
I had bacon once too,
but not exactly like this. But not exactly like this.
Not exactly.
But it was. I mean, it was like this because I like wild rice. But it wasn't exactly like this. I had some other vegetables in it instead of what they call for here. But I am going to be doing this. Trust me, I will be doing this within the next week or two.
What's the difference between wild rice and domesticated rice?
Well, the wild rice is a darker in color. A lot of times it's black even, you know.
Yeah.
And it has a different type of husk on it that has to be whacked off, you know, where they separate the whey from the whatever. What was that called? Away from the chaff or whatever, but it's a hardier and it's got a different taste than the white rice.
So
it's got a different taste. And
why don't they just call it dark rice?
No, I don't know.
Versus white rice.
Because it is wild. Well, I mean, you have to go out. The Indians collect it all the time. They harvest it all the time.
How's the white rice wild?
And
isn't growing rice growing rice?
No. Farmers don't grow wild rice. It just grows wild.
Domesticated rice is like something you grow in the city?
No.
And wild rice is wild? Yeah.
You know what, Sam?
Because you grow it out in the woods?
Sam, play some music, will you please? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service, but no Dan Bush, on 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, don't go to Dan Bush. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com. Now. Now. Oh, we're running off the rails on the crazy train.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm sorry, Tom. You know, I really wanted to know.
Yeah.
I really want to know. Why.
And it tastes different. Wild rice definitely tastes different.
Yeah.
It's got a more earthy flavor.
Up there in Bayfield County, I think, near some of the Native American lands up there. As a kid, Dad, we'd go driving and goes, there's the wild rice.
Yeah, it just grows wild. Yeah, out in the marshes. It's out there. And then the Native Americans, what they do is they go through with their sticks and that, and they got they fold over the stalks like into the boat, and then they whack off the rice, and it falls in the boat, you know, and they just load it up, you know. They do this. I think I'm pretty sure they do it in fall.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
So,
but I like wild rice. And
so
wild
maybe
rice
that's
is
why
good.
It's called wild rice, because it grows like wild.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Yeah, whereas
wild.
The white rice, you got to plant it, you know. You got to plant it and harvest, you know, do all the stuff that you do when you plant
and stuff. Wild rice plants itself?
It does itself, man. It grows wild.
I'm sure
a lot
about
of different
that.
Yeah, it does, without a doubt. Okay, yeah.
Well, enough of the rice. Hey,
oh yeah, who do you got? We got
Kian. We got Kian on the line.
We got Kian on the line. Good morning, Kian. Thanks for holding on. We do appreciate it.
Not a problem. I enjoy when you guys take my calls. I just wanted to give you an update on the Nebraska hunt.
Yeah, right. You said you were going to call and tell us you got a big buck, right?
Yeah, well, I wish that was the case. It was pretty uneventful.
The
years I've hunted there, it's been 10 plus years. We had two on camera from the Friday night when we put them out. And one was a wide 10 and one was a wide 8. Never saw him. I had a 5-pointer walk by me, and that was it. We had corn standing from as far as you could see. So we thought we were going to be smarter and get there a week earlier, because we're normally there the first week in November. But
right.
We thought we'll get there for pre-rut, and that was a big mistake.
Oh.
The deer just weren't moving as much?
No, they were all in the corn. I think it was a week early. We had scrapes and rubs, but there was nothing active.
Gotcha.
Did you have the same weather we had this week?
It was colder. It was colder than cold. One morning it was 11 degrees.
Oh, wow.
That's too, you know.
Did you have snow, too?
We had a little bit of snow.
A little bit?
You know, just, snow doesn't stick there like it does up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so okay.
It's snow, and it's there for a couple, 3 days, and then it's
gone.
Huh. Yeah, wow. Nothing to snow. I mean, the weather was perfect. I mean, I really thought, you know, we were going to hit this right on, but boy, was I wrong.
So next year you won't go the week early, huh?
No, we're gonna go the first week in November.
There you go.
They have a lot of moisture, like most of the Midwest did, and you know the corn's got to be about 15% moisture, or the co-ops will take it.
Right.
And it was between 17 and 23, so they couldn't even get in the fields.
Wow.
Gotcha. Oh, well, I'm sure you had a good time hunting anyway. Did you guys take a time out to go try and shoot some pheasants or do anything else when you're up there?
No, we primarily stick to bow hunting. Last year when we were there, I let you talk to my buddy. He's originally from Shawano, where I'm from, but he's lived up in the UP for 30-some years. And he's absolutely my best friend in the whole world. And to be able to spend a week with him was worth a trip alone. I mean, we are two guys that we're not even related, but we couldn't tell that because we're that close.
You're brothers.
We are brothers.
You're brothers, blood brothers from different mothers.
There we go.
Correct.
All right, Ian. Well, maybe on your next trip, you'll be calling us with...
It's the quest. It's the quest that keeps us coming back.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have a great week.
Right.
Thanks again for taking my call, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, take care, Ian. Good luck. Thanks. Bye now. Yeah, speaking of that, my son Nick got a deer. He took a doe last weekend with his bow.
Yeah.
And so he's up now this weekend, and he said, well, he says, I'm either going to, if I see a big doe walking in front of me, I'll take that, or if I see a buck, either one. He says, I'll take either one.
So he plugged one.
Yeah, he got one last week, and now he hopes to get another one. He wants to get at least three deer this year. And I says, you got enough room in your freezer?
Well, he gives some to you.
Well, he's going to give me. I told him, don't give me any of the deer meat. I say I'm going to shy away from all the deer meat, but I will smoke a rump roast.
Why are you shying away from the deer meat?
Hey, you guys got me all scared with all these diseases and all that. God.
We'll have another smoke, buddy.
Yeah.
He's worried about the deer meat. Don't get me started, Sam. Don't get me started. Oh, my God.
Jeez. Oh, geez. Just chime in anytime you want.
As he eats his hot dog and brat. Oh
yeah. Love them brats.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
I know. I know.
Hey, you know, there.
Hey,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the Hornswoggle is coming up next.
Well, is that coming up? Are we going on break already?
Well, yeah.
We've had enough fun.
You know, do you know what people are going to win if they... guess right on the three statements you give?
Well, they'll get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Meats, where they can turn that in for some delicious, nutritious meat of their choice.
Yeah. You know, Carl's, did you know this? Every sausage contest, you know, these world sausage contests, I mean, literally people from around the world, everyone that they've entered, they've won. Everyone they've entered,
they
won.
We could win a sausage contest. A couple of sausages here.
Yeah, so folks, stay tuned for the Hornswoggle. That's coming up next. And
799-1250. Call right away because the lines start ringing.
Yeah.
And if you won in the last couple weeks, try and give someone else a chance. But everybody's been pretty good about that.
Yeah, if you've won in the last, like, 6 weeks, don't call. I got a list, too, and I check it twice. I check it twice, yeah. I can tell you our last four winners right off the bat.
Oh.
Because I started at a new index card. See? I got a new one. But anyway, call. Yeah, 414-799-1250. Be a contestant in the Hornswoggle. Win that $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Markets. We'll be right back. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz on the board. And, that's about it. We'll be right back.
No dark sarcasm in the
waiting
classroom.
On you, Tom. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening this morning. Hey, we had a contestant. Who called? What was his name? Was it a Scott that called?
Yeah, his name was Scott.
And we got somehow disconnected. So if Scott wants to try calling back, I hope you didn't hit a deer or something. All of a sudden, the line went dead. Otherwise, go ahead. We had a bunch of people calling, and we had taken Scott's. So if those people want to try calling again, we need the Hornswoggle contestant.
Yep.
So give a call. You got a really good chance of winning.
799-1250.
Yep. And, you know, you could take that $10 Carl's gift certificate once you win. And once you get your deer, take it over there and apply your gift certificate,
yeah.
I would think, towards getting you. And if you get the stuff.
So your deer processing,
the
yeah.
The best stuff I got from Carl's was the barbecue sticks.
Those are good. I've had those too.
Gosh. And I take it you're. The fact that you said you're not going to eat any more venison, you got to just be Hornswoggling on that one.
You never know.
Nah, because you were always a happy little guy when I'd give you a bag full of venison and out the door.
I'll tell you what.
You were happier than a trick-or-treater with a Hershey bar
in his
bag.
You know what's really good is when you make, you know what corned beef hash is.
Yes.
We'll make venison.
Ooh, that sounds
hash.
Good.
Make it with the venison instead of the corned beef. It's awesome.
You're going to have to give me that recipe because I will use that.
You will do it. Yeah, it's good. I will do that.
Corned
I will make sure
hash.
I do. All right, who do we got now?
Not sure if it's the same Scott, but we got Scott from Waukesha. He's on the fan.
Okay, Scott.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Okay, so you know how this works. I'll make a statement. If I'm pulling your leg, BSing you, you just say, that's a Hornswoggle. But if
I'll
if I'm speaking the truth, no Hornswoggle. So I spent last weekend, Scott, going out and shooting my 44 Magnum Deerfield carbine along with my slug shotgun. So here we go. I got shooting on the brain. When shooting at 100 yards with the 44 Magnum caliber, if there's a wind of 10 miles per hour or more blowing left to right or right to left, it can potentially blow your round off target by 3 to 4 inches. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That's no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. Right. Yeah, that is correct. Hey, and one thing for our listeners out there, Winchester has a really good site. Just Google Winchester Ballistics, and you can go right to their site. You can type in the caliber, what round. Now, typically, it's going to be Winchester ammo, of course. And then you can set the sight in range, wind condition, and it's really cool. It'll actually show you right where your bullet would hit on an animal.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's nice.
They used to call it Winchester Shoot, but you could just Google Winchester Ballistics. Have some fun, guys. Okay, so you're one for one. When sighting in, rifles, target shooters will sometimes shoot a couple fouling shots because a clean barrel shoots different than a barrel that's been fouled by a round or two. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'm going to say Hornswoggle.
No, that's a no Hornswoggle.
Yeah, I heard that.
No Hornswoggle.
That,
typically,
yeah.
Even like my Browning X-Bolt, the first shot or two with it tends to be a little bit high, and then after that, it's right on where I got her zeroed. So I went last weekend and took a couple pokes with it, and now I'm leaving it for deer season.
Right.
And I'm not going to clean it because that's going to shoot.
Right.
Now, we're talking maybe a half inch, maybe, you know, a little bit, but especially for target shooters, they're shooting like precise. They want every bullet going through the same hole. Okay, but you can get next one. Okay, you got another shot. When mounting a scope on your rifle, the typical height above the barrel is 5 inches.
That's Hornswoggle.
Okay,
oh,
Hornswoggle.
Good. He gave you that one.
All right.
He gave you that one, Scott.
Scott, do you know what the height typically is?
I would guess maybe
half an inch?
One point five is typically when they put a scope on a rifle.
On one of my old rifles, I have access to see-through sights, and that's not even nowhere close to
mine. Yeah, right. Yeah. They used to have those see-through sights back in the day, and that would raise the scope up. And to be honest with you, it made it harder to, when you bring that rifle up quickly, you had to sometimes kind of crane your head up a little bit because the scope wasn't mounted low and down and along with your line of sight. But back in the day, like my dad, they came from a generation that they did not trust scopes, right? And they weren't as good and reliable as they are today. They'd fog or whatever. So they had to go with that open sight thing. But nowadays, I think the people doing the open one underneath is kind of becoming a thing of the distant past.
Right.
It has.
So. Yep.
Well, congratulations for winning. There, well,
I'll get that certificate mailed out to you. Did you give Sam I Am back there your address? Okay, we'll put you on hold, and he'll get your info then.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks,
Scott.
Take
care, man.
Bye now.
You know something interesting, Tom?
What's that?
Talking about, I was checking into how far the crosswind could affect my 44 Magnum bullet.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, 44 Magnum traveling at 1,700 feet per second is going to be a lot more affected than a 30-06 traveling 2,700 feet per second.
Right.
Because there's more time for the wind to act on it prior to hitting your target, correct?
Right. Yeah.
But I did read one thing where the guy said that the wind doesn't really blow your bullet sideways.
Yeah, really?
Your bullet is spiraling, right? It's like a football. And what happens is, with that crosswind, the bullet turns and goes with the direction of the wind.
Oh, is that what it
does? So he says they're not blowing it sideways, but it kind of turns and starts going with the direction of the wind, which, same difference, really, but I could kind of visualize, you know, back,
the same place.
Back when I was, you know, a great athlete at Green Bay Preble running the halfback option, and I'd launch a 50-yard bomb to the wide receiver. Sometimes my bullet of a pass in those winds up in Green Bay could turn and go with the wind and miss the receiver.
Right.
Yeah, I can see how that how that would happen. Yeah. What are you trying to do over there? He's going,
Well, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, your fumble, you're fumble fingering around.
I'm listening to
what
you.
I
know exactly
what
you're
saying. On that computer,
I have
and
to.
And what are you looking up?
I'm just getting something for Sam.
Okay.
I got to get something for Sam.
So now while you're there, while you're there, I'm going to keep the important announcements coming. Now, one of our, I know one of the outdoor shows is talking about hunter safety. And I thought for the Cutting Edge Outdoors, we're going to do our own hunter safety segment. So here it goes. You ready? You ready there, Tom?
Yes, sir, I am.
Here's the hunter safety segment. Don't fall out of your tree. Don't shoot someone. Don't shoot yourself. And be careful driving on the road where you don't hit a deer. That concludes the Cutting Edge Outdoors hunter safety program of the week.
Oh, I think that was very good.
I think that's all you got. That's all you got to know.
All you got to know.
That's it. Pretty clear and succinct.
Don't go. I hear one this year where somebody. I don't know if this was in Wisconsin or someplace else. A guy was loading his rifle in the car, shot his hunting companion, killed him.
I didn't hear that one. Yeah. I did hear about two cousins, I think. A couple guys up squirrel hunting in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and
one
guy
one
accidentally
too.
Shot the other guy. And some guy fell out of his tree too recently. I heard this. This is pretty sad. I think the guy was in his 50s. It was actually a ladder stand, right?
Yeah.
And he tied a rope to raise his firearm up or bow or whatever. He was careful that way. But he simply missed a step landed on his head and or neck and died instantly. They found him laying dead.
That is a shame.
One misstep, Tom.
Yeah, that can happen.
One misstep.
Yeah. Who do you got on the line, Sam?
Andy in Heartland has a couple questions for you guys.
All right. Good morning,
what's
Andy.
Up, Andy?
What can we do for you today? Andy? Hello?
Hope he didn't miss a step falling out of the tree.
You got him on there for sure, Sam?
Did you hit the right button?
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along there, Tom.
Well, put him on hold maybe, and maybe he'll come back. I don't know. Anyway, okay.
Give it up, Tom. He's off.
He's off.
Let's keep
gone.
Rolling.
All right, we're rolling. We're rolling right along. You know, when you talk about safety with guns, it's so much more prevalent with guns than it is with bows, you know. But, you got to be careful where that gun is pointed. As a matter of fact, just at the store this last week, a little kid was looking. Well, his mom said he wasn't that little. He was like 12 years old.
Right.
His mom was letting him look at a pellet gun, which all the pellet guns and BB guns are on sale 40% off.
Hey, so that's a good deal. You got some of the high-powered pellet rifles over there?
Oh, you better believe it.
Some of the deluxe. Yep.
Anyway, and he was pointing it at his little brother and his mother. As soon as she saw that and I saw it, we both started hollering at him. You know, you don't point a gun at anybody loaded or unloaded. You never point ever, ever.
I don't even.
He learned real fast.
You don't even swing the barrel across when you turn in the field, standing around a bunch of hunters. Right. That barrel's pointed at the ground.
Yeah,
it's just
ground
something you gotta,
up in the air.
You got to just subconsciously, and I've been with hunters that would go swinging their body, and all of a sudden their muzzle, you know, goes across my body, and I do not like that. Don't point that thing at me.
Well, what was the name of the guy who called, Sam?
Scott.
Scott, well, he can call back if he wants, the guy who just hung up.
No, that was Andy and Heartland.
Oh, Andy and Heartland. Call us.
What are you talking about?
Call us back in like 2 minutes because, we don't have a sports update anymore, do we?
No, yeah. We just got our legal ID, and then we're going to come right back.
All right.
We got to act like we're going to break for 10 seconds, and then we're right back.
Yep, exactly. And we're right back.
We got to do something creative here.
Yeah, we'll tell you what the Packers score is going to be when we come back. Stay tuned, folks.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
Danny, that was quick.
I don't know about you, man, but I'm in a haze over here.
Yeah.
What just happened?
I don't know. Something happened. With no
we went
more
to a break, and next thing you know, we're back here talking again.
No more sports update. But that's
can
right.
I can tell you this.
The Bucks won. So, there you go.
Let me do the traffic. Tom.
Okay, do the traffic.
Traffic is light and variable on the Edens. We do have one rollover on the Kennedy. Hey, watch out for that truck off to the side on the Lincoln.
Yeah.
And forecast is for snow.
Yeah, so I got a question.
What's your question there?
Oh, not a question. I got a comment. This will make your skin curdle.
Oh, no.
My wife watches this one show. And she says, and I happen to be home. I'm walking through the kitchen. She says, you got to see this. The lady was suing the landlord for roaches. She's suing the guy because as she was sleeping, a roach buried itself. A cockroach went way in her ear, perforated her eardrum and everything. I mean, it was way in there. Had to go to emergency room and they had to get it out somehow. How disgusting is that, having a cockroach up in your ear?
I saw this. Get this. I saw this. Remember Rod Serling, of course, had the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
But later he did a show Wednesday nights. It was short-lived, called Night Gallery.
Yeah, Night Gallery. I remember.
And I remember one Night Gallery episode where this one guy wanted to, kill some other guy. And it was like down in South America, they're like in Brazil or the jungle. So he got somebody, he told this guy to sneak in while the guy's sleeping and put this kind of a bug in the guy's ear that would eat its way into his brain and kill the guy. But the guy he hired got the wrong hut and actually put the thing in his ear, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
So then he's strapped to the bed and, you know, this thing's working its way through his brain. And then all of a sudden it came out the other side, right? So he's like supposed to be okay, right?
Yeah.
And then the guy tells him, it's a female and they lay eggs. and that ended the horrible... Yeah. Yeah, Night Gallery one.
I'll tell you what, you know, you get any earwig, cockroach, a bee. Can you imagine
like
a wasp?
Out every
can
time...
you imagine like a wasp or a yellow jacket hornet in your ear. Oh,
even like a spider or something.
Oh, a spider laying eggs and all over. Oh, God, that would be terrible.
All our listeners.
Oh, now we
right
freaked
now we
everybody
just
out.
We scared a bunch of kids where they're going to, Mommy, it's not going to be there's a man, boogeyman in the closet. Mommy, oh. There's a cockroach crawling in my ear. Mm-hmm. You'll have to put the headphones on the kids.
Oh, goodness.
Of course, most of the time they walk around with the headphones on, listening to music. Their head is their head is plugged into the socket so much they don't know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, really. Well, guess what, Danny? We got a couple of callers calling us, and Sam will be putting them up in just a minute. We're a popular show this morning.
Oh, yeah. Hey, any emails?
You know what?
Check the email there, Tom.
I did what I was supposed to do, but then I got out of where I was, so now I got to go back to this again and leave this. And me and computers, I'm telling you. I don't know. There we go.
Me and you.
Me and computers.
A dog named Boo.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a popular song.
Was it?
Don't you remember Me and You and a Dog Named Boo?
Sounds pretty stupid.
Johnny Cash did it.
Wasn't it a man named Sue or boy named Sue?
Johnny Cash did not do.
He did a boy named Sue.
He didn't do Me and You and a Dog Named Boo.
Oh, I didn't think so. No emails right now.
Oh, nothing. Okay.
And the emails, you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Okay, Sam, who you got?
All right, we're going to give Andy and Heartland another shot.
All right. Andy, are you there?
I am here now.
All right.
Technology disconnected me from you guys.
Yeah, that's okay. What's on your mind, Andy?
Hey, well, I'm going to kind of keep it light this morning. You guys are talking about hornswoggling, and I just had a question. Is being bamboozled the same as being hornswoggled?
Correct.
Yes.
Bamboozled would be what's known as a synonym there,
yes.
Andy.
Yes.
Bamboozled, okay. Hoodwinked, BS'd.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But what about, does skullduggery fall in the same category?
No.
Skullduggery is when someone's up. That's a synonym with mischief, isn't it?
Yeah, and when they're up to nefarious ways.
Nefarious, skullduggery, yes. Mischief.
Man, they're doing something nasty.
Hijinks.
Yeah.
Wow, we
as
got
as far as bamboozled go, it's in the same category as
hornswoggled.
Yep. Yeah,
correct.
Right.
Yep.
You don't want to get bamboozled or hornswoggled.
Nope, neither.
No, that's not good. No good for anybody.
Right.
See, these are the things that keep me up at night.
Yeah, well, that's good. Our goal here is to educate you, Andy, and improve everybody's vocabulary.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave you with a joke then.
All right.
Okay, if you were a river, where would you go to get a mortgage?
Oh, you know what? I heard this one, and I can't remember. It's funny.
The closest tributary.
No, the riverbank.
The riverbank.
Oh, good one. Okay.
You know, sometimes you hear these easy ones, and you just can't remember them.
So easy, it's hard.
That was good.
Thanks,
Andy.
Thanks for trying.
Okay, bye now. And who else you got there, Sam?
That tributary was a pretty good guess.
Oh, no. Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah, tributary.
Banks have different... I guess you don't call them tributary. You call them what? Branches.
A branch.
And a tributary is like a branch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam
sees it. You go to the river branch.
I wouldn't have won on Jeopardy, but I would have felt good about my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There was
something else I was going to ask the audience. It seems like once a year, Danny, I always get into this. But before I even get to that, I don't know the name of it. There's a new tungsten jig out. I saw it last night, and as soon as I get back to the store next week, I am going to order them for the store. It's a tungsten jig that looks like a rat finky.
This is your hot tip now, everybody out
there. Well, you know me.
There's a new tungsten jig
that looks like
a
rat
finky,
but it's a tungsten jig.
Did you see it like in a magazine or something?
Yeah.
Like in Fisherman or?
No, a different one.
Different one.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, I like rat finkies for ice fishing. Those are really good. And I like the rat, so it's got the tail on it, but all you got to do is just cut the tail off. You got a rat finky. So it's the same thing. You get two for the price of one. But this is a tungsten jig, a heavier jig that looks like a rat finky. It's got that piece of colored plastic, you know, could be red, blue, pink, white, whatever,
right.
You know. I think that's going to be a good one. And as soon as I saw that, I said, oh, I got to get those in the store. And I'm going to get them in. That's going to be a hot one.
You know, we were on words there, Tom, bamboozle and stuff. Fink. I was just thinking, rat finky. Fink. You know what a fink is,
yes,
right?
Yes. He's
Sam, do you know what a fink is?
I do not.
You don't know what a fink is?
No. Yeah.
A fink
I
is...
I feel like I've heard it before.
He's like a tattletale.
And rat, fink, kind of go together, because if someone's a rat, they're basically telling on you.
A squealer.
And a fink is actually somebody who does the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you call that guy's a fink, that means that would be somebody who would squeal on you or tattletale on you. Rat on you. Yeah.
I got a nice thick book, Danny, that you would like.
See,
you probably have one.
Stick around there. You went to college and everything, and here we are.
Those are old terms,
we're
though.
Improving your vernacular.
Hey, look at us, though. We're busting out the thesaurus. And
I was just going to say, I've got one that's about 4 inches thick, a thesaurus.
Yeah.
Danny probably has one, too, laying around, don't you?
I got a few dinosauruses, say little models. I liked them as a kid. I still like to play with them, but no thesauruses. But you know, everything comes around, right? So old words can become new, Tom. Yeah. We can teach people, you know, the term sodbuster, right?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I was sitting with Troy Woodrow years ago in Pewaukee at Sports Doc, and there are all these fishermen and hunters come in all wearing their flannel and looking scruffy. And he kind of looks around and he goes, "Oh, rough crowd." And I said, "Yeah, a lot of sodbusters here tonight." And he cracked up laughing. He loved that term, sodbuster. So he worked for a major corporation, and he had all these young gals just out of college, 24 years old, whatever. And they hung around partying with us old guys, and we started using the term sodbuster around them. They were going downtown to downtown bars in Milwaukee using the word sodbuster, and the term sodbuster was spreading throughout Milwaukee amongst the youth. People were using that term, sodbuster.
And do you know what a sodbuster is, Sam?
No, you guys are blowing my mind.
You're looking at two of them. You're looking at two of them right here.
Actually, it's actually a farmer.
Okay.
Because they had to bust the sod.
But we always kind of referred to a sodbuster as the guy wearing the flannel shirt, not the city slicker. Yeah. Okay,
right,
sodbuster.
Right.
I think of like somebody who like works in a wood shop or something like that.
Yeah.
When you say it.
You know, guy wearing flannel, likes to fish, hunt, has jeans.
He's a sodbuster.
Maybe a scruffy beard.
Maybe he's not technically. You know? Yeah. So another term we used to use growing up was yardbird.
Yardbird.
Yeah. My buddy used to always go, "Look, I want a couple of yardbirds." But I was thinking about this.
I was actually
driving down the road one summer day, and I saw couple guys sitting in their lawn chair, and then I drove by another next week and the same guys are sitting in their lawn chair, and it hit me. Yardbirds. They were a couple of yardbirds. They're just parked in their yard watching stuff go by.
An actual yardbird was actually a prison inmate.
Really?
Those were yardbirds. Yeah, that's where the term originally came from, because they would be out in the prison yard like a bunch of crows, you know, walking around.
Yardbirds.
But a yardbird was a prison inmate.
Wow.
Was a prison inmate. Those were yardbirds.
Yep.
And now you remember the band, the Yardbirds, from Great Britain?
No.
Look up one of their songs.
What was one of their great songs?
You tell me the names. I'll tell you which one is a good one. But the Yardbirds, I don't know how they chose that name for their band.
Well, who knows how any band chooses their name, Tom?
Well,
sometimes they have reasons.
Okay, what do you got?
For Your Love.
Yeah, play that when we come back, all right?
We'll have that for you.
Play For Your Love. People will know it. Trust me, you'll know it. Once you hear it, you'll know it.
Know it, like it. They'll love it. Can't get enough of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to a break now. We'll listen to some, we'll pay some bills. And
I'll be
back
with these two yardbirds next to me. Sorry, Sam.
And if you got any questions or comments, you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com or give us a buzz at 414-799-1250. You're listening to both Sports Radio 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can hear this.
For Your Love. For Your Love. For Your Love.
I'd give you everything and more.
You remember it now?
Sure.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
His kind of twang and sound right now is similar to even some songs that you hear today. It seems that was it. They're one hit wonder, the Yardbirds.
No, they had a lot of hits.
They fed away.
They had a lot of hits. They had a lot of them.
You know,
just like the Animals.
Okay.
They had a lot to.
Well, yeah. Maybe they'll come back. You know, we.
I doubt it. They're about 80 years old.
We're talking about they'll be on a tour, right?
Yeah, they'll be on a tour with the Stones.
everything. Yeah, they say everything comes back. You know, that reminded me of something. Years ago, my cousin grew up in Duluth, and I went up there years ago. And he was a young guy kind of getting into partying and stuff. And the big beer up there at the time was Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Sure.
He said PBR.
Yeah,
PBR. And I started laughing because where I grew up in Green Bay, the big beer was Old Style, right?
Right, yeah.
But then later they changed the recipe and they got a bad rap and they started calling it something other than Old Style and nobody was drinking it. But it was just strange because Pabst, to me, was like the old gnarly construction worker beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go to, like, you'll see some old guy come in, Pabst. You don't see that. But I was talking with my buddy Troy Woodrow, who's big on following he's in the industry.
Right, right.
He said Pabst is, maybe Sam would know, he said Pabst is considered kind of a trendy beer amongst young people now.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer it over like a Miller Lite or a Bud Light.
Yeah, that's what he was telling me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, along like the lines of like a Natty Bush or like those cheap beers and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, I mean, we would drink it all the time in college.
Yeah, because, and I don't know, he was saying maybe it had something to do with young people aren't really into going with the flow of they like to do their own thing, and you got all these ads, all Miller, 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 this or that, and then they're going to go with something that's kind of off the radar, different than what's supposed to be.
It's a little bit of that. I mean, it's mostly just the fact that, you know, it's a Milwaukee thing.
And they still make it. I haven't seen an ad for it in years, but they still make it.
Speaking of Milwaukee, some other fascinating information. You know, they announced this week that Miller Coors, they're closing up their beautiful place there in Denver. And Miller Coors is being taken over by Molson, which is a Canadian company.
Really?
And they are going to bring a couple hundred jobs to Milwaukee here. Sounds like they're doing a bit of consolidating.
Hmm.
So actually, Miller is, matter of fact, do you know why Miller Park did not renew the naming rights, Miller Park? This, from what I understand, this was in Molson taking over. This was kind of like behind the scenes, probably in the works the whole time. So what are you going to do? Call it Miller Park, and then all of a sudden it's Molson Park. So Molson's taken over, and apparently they're doing that to compete because Budweiser was taken over by a Brazilian company. And apparently these Brazilian guys are pretty cutthroat, where they look at the bottom line and they say, hey, we got to get rid of this factory or get rid of this. And it's like, don't give the employees whatever notice, just lock the doors. And, we're looking at the bottom line. Yeah. We need this change and we need this change now. So it's interesting. A lot of American companies are being taken over by foreign, which I don't like.
I thought Miller Coors was owned by that South African beer company.
I don't know.
Maybe one of our listeners will enlighten us.
From what when I was talking to the insider from the industry, I found it interesting. And you think about Miller. I mean, that's a classic Milwaukee U.S. company, and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, I think they're going to be calling it Molson Coors or Molson Coors Miller Coors. And you know, Coors as well used to only be available like east. That was their big selling point, was that Coors was only available in a certain part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I was talking to said one time during college, somebody got like a special somehow shipment to Coors, and everybody went nuts because all of a sudden it was like getting some contraband or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when Coors actually did come into Wisconsin, they did a big advertising. I remember it was a big advertising campaign
because
a friend of mine went to work for them driving one of their trucks. They were talking Coors, the silver bullet, coming to Wisconsin. They put it in bars and so forth. But at one time, it was only available exclusively in a certain part of the country.
Oh, wow.
But the reason what's going on with the Molson and everything merging, beer sales are down. And from what I understand, now you're a young guy, Sam, they say that young people today are getting more and more into the health thing. That's why the foo-foo drink like the White Claw and some of those things, which supposedly have less calories. So what Molson MillerCoors is going to start trying to do is they're going to start trying to expand their brands more towards those type of things other than beer.
Yeah, I mean, those seltzers are just taking over.
I think young people should just drink more bourbon, more whiskey.
I think
that's
nobody...
healthy. That's healthy for you.
Nope. Yeah. Nobody should drink, period. We here at the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors endorse clean living.
No, speak for yourself.
That means no smoke. That means no more going out in the parking lot for a smoke, Tom.
Got to have a smoke and a bourbon.
No more eating dessert. No more eating dessert.
Oh, my wife won't know what to make then. You know,
you know the whole thing about this, you know, some of these tree huggers against eating red meat and all this.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is, the people that are out there, you know, just eating, you know, plants and stuff, I don't think they're as healthy as the people. I think we were made, you know, to
consume. Carnivores.
We're carnivores. We're actually not. We're omnivores.
Omnivores. We do either
Another
or
Another big
both.
Word we just taught everybody, Tom.
Omnivore. Plants or animals. We'll eat
Sam,
them all.
Sam, you know what an omnivore is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, that's good. You learned.
I learned something in college.
I was just going to say that same thing. Who do you got on the line, Sam?
We didn't have anybody. No. Oh. He just wanted to chime in. He was saying how back in the day, I guess, like, Coors was available, like, west of the Mississippi.
Kind of like I was saying.
Okay. Yeah, that's just what he wanted to chime in about.
West of the Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi, right. Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't that a big Colorado
east,
thing?
But it was west.
Course, wasn't that in Colorado?
Yeah, that's why. When the mountains are blue on the can, it means it's cold.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
the can would turn colors.
Yeah, they still have that.
They still do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it shows you what I know about beer. I don't
know
much
all
about
that hard
beer.
Stuff, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, if I want to get lit, I want to get lit quick.
But, Tom,
I can't believe you just said lit.
Yeah. Well, you know what they used to call drunk? Last week we were talking about Ernest Hemingway and his books and stuff.
This is good.
If you were drunk or high, you know, from drinking alcohol, they called it tight.
You were
being
tight.
Tight. Yeah, he's tight tonight.
So tight is a synonym with tanked.
Yeah.
Lit.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Yeah. Lit.
Lit.
There's a lot of words.
Tanked.
If you drink too much.
What are some other words that you would say?
Blasted.
Loaded.
Now who do you got on the line?
To kind of bring it back full circle, Art in Milwaukee. He's on the line for you guys.
Who?
Art in Milwaukee.
It's Art in Milwaukee.
Oh, Art in Milwaukee. Hi, Art.
Hi, Tom.
I didn't understand what he was saying.
Hey, man.
What's up, Art?
Earlier, Tom, you were talking about the laser, how good it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, a friend of mine had one. And I had the old Mora 8-inch on there. And
sure.
It wasn't the easiest to cut. But anyway, I tried his. He had a 6-inch laser. And this thing cut like butter on there.
Isn't that true? Really, I mean, easy. I'll tell you. You know, Art, years ago, I had a 3-horse Jiffy. And then I scaled down to a 2-horse Jiffy because it was lighter. Okay. And then once I got that laser, I got rid of the Jiffy. That laser was so easy.
I agree with you because I used my friends on there. It was cutting the ice just like butter on there.
Yeah.
It was really good. So I went out. I don't know if it was the end of the year, but the next winter, I bought one.
Yeah.
And I took it out, and can I say where I bought it from and everything?
Sure, I don't care.
Okay, I bought it at Fleet Farm.
Sure.
And I took it out, and I tried it, and I'm turning this thing, and I said, God, dog, and I just... It's not going real easy on there, and I'm thinking, what the heck? I'm getting older or something that I can't do it that easy. And I tried a couple holes, and it was cutting, but it wasn't as good as my friend's was on there.
So what was wrong with it?
Well, anyway, I took it back. I tried it a couple times, and I took it back to the store, and I told the lady, I said, hey, this thing is not working good. And there was a little bit of a nick in the blade, and I says, maybe it's because of that little nick in there. And as soon as I said that, she says, I'll call somebody from sports on there. So anyway, an older fellow came over, and he looked at it, and I told him that, it wasn't working very good, you know, and he's kind of wrinkling his eyebrows there. And, you know, it says usually they work pretty good down there. Well, I said this one didn't down there. So anyway,
blades on backwards.
They gave me a replacement for it, and I couldn't wait to get out again and try it on there. So this time my son-in-law came with me, and I tried it first, and son of a gun, it's the same thing. Well, he's a little bit bigger than I am. He's a bricklayer on there, so he's a little bit huskier. And he's trying it, and he's getting a little better results than I am, but it's not going in real easy.
Like it should, yeah.
Right. So anyway, now I'm going to take it back the second time. Before I did that, I checked on the internet. Is other people having trouble with this? So anyway, what I find out is that this fellow was on the internet, and he said that, yeah, he was having trouble with his, and he sent it back to the company, and they replaced it on there. So anyway, I got the information. I called the company up. I told him what I had, and the woman asked me, she says, is it made in China?
What?
I don't know. She says, well, she says, take a look on the blades, and it's printed in very small print down there, and it says, I looked at it with the magnifying glass, it says, yeah, made in China. So she says, well, send them back. And I did, and they sent me some new ones, and I tried
new blades,
them
right?
It was like butter again on there. It was working. So, and the thing about these blades is they were the ones that the first ones, they were very sharp. I mean, you touch it with your finger and you're gonna cut your finger on there. And that's why I couldn't understand why they weren't cutting. But I don't know if it was the angle or what it was, but the ones that she sent me were made in Sweden.
See,
and it made the world a difference.
Well, here's the thing. And okay, China actually has a steel that they're proud of right now that they'll put on knives if they're using that steel. But I can see them using a lesser grade of steel on those blades from China and maybe not having the correct angle, you know, and a lesser blade of steel.
That's what I thought it was.
Because if you've got a harder steel, that's going to cut much better than a softer steel. And especially if the angle is wrong.
Yeah, I'm thinking the angle, but
yeah.
Well, it's good they fixed it for you, and
yeah.
Hopefully they probably learned their lesson and quit outsourcing to China
yeah.
and went to Sweden.
I don't think they make the price.
You know, because I'm willing to pay more for the product.
Yeah.
If it's going to be made right the way it's supposed to be, so you get an excellent product as opposed to outsourcing it to China and getting an inferior product. But last year, Tom, I was talking about ordering a laser. Do you realize last year when I was looking for the 8-inchers that laser themselves were out of them? They had none to ship to the retailers. Some guy checked into it for me.
You know,
couldn't get one anywhere.
Art, I'm glad you mentioned that because when I get back to the store next week, I am definitely going to check the lasers that we have. I think I'm going to take them out of the box and look and see what it says.
Yeah, look with a magnifying glass because it's printed right on the
blade.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty real small. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Thanks for calling, Art. That's good information. Thanks.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
I love your show on there. Yeah, keep it up.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, man.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. About us, Danny.
That's right, Tom. So, what time does Sherpers open today?
9 a.m.
Crap. I need to get some steaks. I'm going to drive up and help set up some deer stands.
Oh.
And I wanted to pick up some of those steaks, but I want to get on the road at a decent time as opposed to...
Well, you'll be going right by... Midwestern Shooter Supply, right?
No.
Oh, you're going a different route?
They don't have tent stakes at Midwestern Shooter Supply.
They don't?
Nah, they're a shooting supply place.
Well, I know. Midwest, yeah, but
they're not a camping place.
But they got a lot of outdoorsy stuff. But, nah, I can see. Yeah, they don't have tents.
Okay,
yeah,
so
they don't have
tents. I'm going up to Sparta. Would, like, a big Fleet Farm type place have stakes?
Sure.
You sure? Tent stakes?
Definitely. They have Fleet Farm has tents.
A
and
Walmart?
They got stakes. I don't know, but what? Walmart should, but I don't know if you'll see a selection.
Steaks, though. Yeah, like the $2 plastic steaks.
Yeah, I know over at Sherpers, we've got like...
you got tons of
12
them.
Or six, 16, 16 different varieties, different metals,
orange ones,
plastic,
yellow ones,
colors.
Black ones, all different.
All different ones, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
I should have went over there last night, but I didn't feel like it. So, yeah, I want to stake down some blinds. I'm really not too motivated to bow hunt this year.
No?
I don't know. I just, as far as getting out there and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if I shot a deer, then you got to get it, drag it out and take it in. And I'm like, am I getting old and lazy? I'm thinking, well, if you know, I get a, well, you if know I what? Got a crack at a, I'm going to use my crossbow. And I very well could have a big buck walk by me tonight up there. They're running all over the place. But
you know what I think it is, Danny? You've been there, done that.
I haven't shot any real monsters.
But I mean, you've shot deer with your bow and you've dragged them out. You've been there. You've done that, you know?
I don't know. And the weather, it's kind of cold. There's snow on the ground. It's not like a nice fall. If you were bow hunting last week, Saturday. Wasn't Saturday the day that was just gorgeous, or Sunday?
That's
the kind of beautiful fall day you want to be out. Right now, you know.
This ain't fall. This is winter.
This is winter. And I'm kind of thinking, well, I'll drive up, set up the stands, and if I'm motivated enough, I'll sit with the crossbow. If not, I'll just call it a wrap. But I'm not going to drive home in the dark because too many deer running around the road. I'll just crash at the El Rancho Motel up there. Cost me about $50.
Danny.
Roach infested motel. Yeah. I'll just crash there.
Hey, we forgot to do something, and we got to do it right now. NFL football picking contest where you can win a $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. You will all you got to do is tie us or beat us. And what's the point spread? Anybody know the point spread?
So 7-1 Packers take on the LA Chargers Sunday at 325. Packers are 3.5 favorites.
3.5 point favorites.
Over under is 48.5.
Well, we're just doing the 3.5 favorites, Packers. So call 799-1250 right now.
You're guaranteed to win.
You're almost guaranteed. Almost. And I mean, like 99%. 99% sure.
While we're along that lines, the prizes and awards are solely the responsible of the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Any inquiries in regards to that? Goes right to Tom over here.
Yep, at CEOguys@yahoo.com. just because. We got a contestant? Okay.
Yep, we got Bill in Pewaukee.
I'm writing that down right now, Bill.
Bill in Pewaukee.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Oh, this is our friend, Bill Schwartz.
Hey, Bill. Yeah.
I recognize your voice, Bill. Right. How you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
We're doing wonderful.
Bill, I turned on one of my fishing clients to your slammer crankbaits this year, and he's gone crazy getting slammers. In fact, I emailed him this week a copy of the depth chart that you used to have. I had scanned it.
We still have one.
Yeah, I scanned it on my computer, and I got that online if I ever lose the one I got from you years ago. But he was happy as could be when I sent that to him, so he's loving your baits.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, it's on our website, and then on Facebook you can see it there, too. But
well, what's the website, Bill? Tell everybody.
SlammerTackle.com.
All right.
Gotcha.
All right, we got the Packers, 3.5-point favorite against
L.A. Chargers.
L.A. Chargers. I
was going to sit here for 10 minutes and see how long it took them to get it.
I know, because I hate that they changed the name, you know. But anyway, who do you like, Bill?
You know, at 3.5 points, I got to go with the Packers. This could be a trap game being a short week and heading west, but I still think they can cover. They're playing pretty good.
And Sam, what do you think?
Win last week.
Yeah. Oh, that was a huge win last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the Packers can cover.
Okay. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go Packers too. I mean, Devontae Adams could be back, although I would prefer him to sit out another week. Yeah. But I mean, even if he doesn't, he's still got Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams.
Danny?
I don't know. At 3.5, my rule of thumb when gambling, which I don't do, if it's a close point spread, go with the home team. So it's a close point spread. Packers will cover, but I mean, they won't cover the points. Packers will win. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
All right, now I'm going Packers. So you automatically are a winner, Bill, and I know you go to Curly's Waterfront Pub. So
funny story. We were there for a fish fry last night, and my wife says, "Why don't you call the radio station tomorrow and try to win a gift certificate?"
Really? Well, you won it.
Okay, honey.
Fish fry, excellent cod fish fry.
Yeah, they do have a great fish fry. You know, last week, you know my problem with last week's game is that Moore fella, you know, he didn't even play football last year, right? Well, whatever, he was assistant coach at a high school team. But yet the Packers secondary made him look like all pro. He threw for like 280 some yards.
Yeah, but That's just typical bend but don't break type thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was just telling somebody this week. They bend, but they don't break. Thank goodness.
You know, I was amazed. I would not have taken the Packers to win that game because generally they don't play well on at Arrowhead.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I was pleasantly surprised, and it was good to see. It was probably a huge win, especially with San Francisco just walking away here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, they are. They're doing really good.
Yeah.
So I think the Packers actually are going to have an easy game of it this week. I think they're going to get run against. They're, you know, every team can run on them a little bit, you know. So I think that'll happen. But I think the defense, like you said, they'll bend a little bit, but they won't break. And the offense will do their thing.
I hope so. Well, seeing I just win, why don't you just drop the gift certificate off at Smokey's? I'm usually there.
I'm not going to be out unless Danny wants to drop it off. Oh, I don't even have them with me. I got them all at home.
Either way.
So,
okay.
Yeah, stay on the line, Bill. Sam will get your address, okay, off the air, and then I'll mail that out. I'll send it out tomorrow morning, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Yep. Yeah, that was Bill Schwartz, maker of the Slammer Lures.
And the cool thing, those Slammers are great crankbaits. In fact, like I said, I took one of my clients out and got him a couple muskies trolling, so he went and bought a bunch of Slammers. He's all excited. My brother got me some really cool custom Slammer colors up in Oshkosh at some sports show there, up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I could talk to Bill about them.
Yeah, Bill does some custom colors every now and then. Yeah.
And my secret color this year was different than my previous secret color of the previous 5 years.
Not a red bomb anymore,
no,
huh?
The one that worked the best for many years was that black sucker one when Bill was in the studio with us years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it was even our old studio before they did the remodel.
Right.
Or maybe it was this one. I can't remember.
Maybe it was.
And anyway, he had a couple of those to give away on the show. He'd just come out with them, and he had like three of them, and he had a black one, and he pointed at it and said, "This one's been the hot one." So I said, "Okay, Bill, I'm the first caller. I just won that one." And I went out and caught two muskies on the first day I used it. And that black one was a go-to one for a long time. Now, a couple of years ago, I was out on the lake and I bumped into Bill. And it was an August day, I think, or something. And at that time, he told me his walleye pattern one was working pretty good. So it's interesting. You know, you can have a bait or a certain color that seems to be your go-to one, and then all of a sudden it starts to just changes, and all of a sudden it's not so good, and then you go, all of a sudden you kind of stumble on a different pattern that seems to be the hot pattern. So you use what works, but
that's right.
My suggestion to you is go buy a bunch of those 4-inch slammers if you want to troll some deep water, and you can get those down 18, 20 feet. You don't need a downrigger or anything.
Right.
You might need to tune them a little bit out of the box. Most of them run pretty true. But he makes those. I think he used to make them out of recycled milk.
He still does.
Yeah. And
recycled milk jugs.
The USA, too, as well.
Yep.
Okay, so
you
got to support a USA company.
You better believe it. All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, I got a great tip for you bass fishermen. At this time of year, like right now, you can go out and catch bass. And
I'll tell you, put the boat away and go inside. It's too cold to bass fish.
Then I'll tell you exactly how to get them when we come back right after this short message. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmidt's on the boards. We'll be right back with more.
It's the final countdown.
It's the last segment of the show, and I'm turning off my computer, but I am going to check the inbox, see if we got any emails, which we don't, so I'm closing this baby down, so don't try to email me right now, but you can always email me during the week. I don't mind that, because I check it every day. Okay, here you go, folks. This is your bass fishing tip. Now, when I first saw this, I didn't believe it. A number of years ago, John Gillespie was with a young fella out on Bass's Bay on Big Muskego Lake, and they were throwing rattle traps over the weeds. It was November. The water temperature was 43 degrees, and they were slamming bass. And I said, no, this can't be right. I must be dreaming. Nobody catches bass in 43-degree water with rattle traps. This can't be right. because we've always been taught and heard that you got to slow down in the cold water. You got to slow down. Well, you know what? They didn't slow down at all. They're just ripping these things right through those tops of those weeds. So I told a young fella that I know who does a lot of fishing, I told him this not too long ago, and I told him about this rattle traps, shallow water, in the weeds, right? Well, he was on, I'm not going to tell you exactly where, but he was at Little Muskego, and he was in a relative's little rowboat. He had put his boat away for the year, but he's in this rowboat, and he's throwing the blue and chrome rattle trap. And the water's like, 4 or 5 feet deep, dying weeds around. He's ripping it over the tops of these dying weeds. Not only did he catch a limit of bass, he caught a number of northern pike, and he even caught a legal walleye that was, 19 inches or something like that. And it's like, and it works. It really does work. Now, why those fish are in that shallow weedy area, why they're chasing, rattle traps, I don't know. But by golly, it does work. And if I had a boat right now, I would try that. I mean, water temperature is cold right now.
Well,
but
yeah.
They're chasing rattle traps. And that's not that goes against everything that we've learned about bass fishing, But, Danny, those darn fish just don't read the same books,
Right.
They're going to do what they want to do. And by golly, that does work, So I was really happy that this young guy was slamming some fish, And he said the water temperature when he did it last week was in the low 40s. So go figure. Go figure.
Yeah.
But I bet you there's have you seen a lot of guys out on Pewaukee?
Well,
with the suckers?
I haven't. I'm on the Far East End.
Yeah,
I really
don't see a lot over there.
A couple weeks ago, guys were over in the Far East End casting and stuff. But now I think everybody's working that Western Basin over there, so I'm sure there's lots of guys out there soaking suckers. And this time of year when it gets really cold, I like the deep weed edge, but when it gets cold like this, I don't care what lake you go on, I've always had good luck this time of year working deep water, especially where there's a sharp drop-off.
Right. Close to shore, especially.
Where if there's a sharp drop-off in change, where all of a sudden, let's say a shelf goes from, or a weed edge, it goes from 10, 12 feet to all of a sudden drops to 25 feet. I've always done really well dragging a sucker down about 18 feet and kind of bouncing it along the bottom, along the break.
Mm-hmm.
And
nowadays you can even go deeper.
Well, there was a spot on Lake Vue d'Isere years ago when I had a little aluminum boat and I really didn't know anything about musky fishing, but I went up there cause you'd see those cool giant tiger muskies, pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Dolores Ott Lapp caught the one big one that in the musky book and that's on display up there, and then the world record one, forget that guy's name, but 50-pound muskies out of tiger muskies. So I'd be out there, and there wouldn't be a boat in sight. And what I did was I went out to the deepest part of the lake, which I believe was about 45 feet deep, and I'd let my sucker down, and I'd just kind of drag it along the bottom and work my way up to a kind of a corner where all of a sudden the water went from, real deep, all of a sudden up to about 25 feet, and then it came up even shallower. But right when I'd hit the 25-foot point is when I'd get muskies grabbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there one time with my dad, and I remember it was back in the old swallow rigs, and he had one grab the single hook, and so I did what all the books said. I said, let him
take it.
Yeah. And 50 minutes later, the thing rolled on top of the water. Well, it had swallowed the sucker.
Well, of course, yeah.
And so he actually, this was in the days before catch and release, too.
Mm-hmm.
He kept that muskie, and it was 40-plus inches, and he drove back home to Green Bay all happy. I went back out by myself, shotgun blast going off in the distance, only boat on the water that I could see. And I had muskies I couldn't put a sucker down without a muskie grabbing it. But the problem was they kept letting them go.
Oh, okay.
And I had at one point where, you know, I'd pull the suckers up and there would be a muskie behind it. And then I'd let it back down. Then I'd pull it up. There's a different size muskie behind it. I mean, there must have been a pack of them down there. And, yeah, it was just not hungry enough. One specific spot, you know. And then I lost a monster where I was drifting real fast in the wind one day. And, I mean, I'm blowing like a son of a gun. And all of a sudden, something in 26 feet of water, I thought I'm snagged or something, okay? It's either a fish or a snake because line starts peeling out, but I'm blowing so fast with the boat. So I get the trolling motor, everything it took to get me back over on top of the fish. I wound up tight and set the hook as hard as I could. And I was blowing so fast that even by the time I stopped the trolling motor and I went to set the hook, I'm blowing off of it.
Yeah.
It was a situation, Tom, where, like, if you've ever been in a canoe on a little flat stream and you hook a log and you're pulling yourself, yeah. in the whole canoe towards a log.
Yeah.
I was pulling myself and the boat towards the fish against the waves.
Wow.
And I'm given the rods doubled over, and it felt like a boulder coming off the bottom. No head shakes, no runs, no nothing. And I'm just cranking, and finally I can feel it coming up, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to see down there? Am I going to see, like, a 50-pound tiger muskie? And about 8 feet below the boat, all of a sudden the rod just went slack, and I wound up, and there were nothing but giant jaw marks on there. It had never been hooked.
Oh.
It had just been chomped down, clamped down
on
the sucker.
On. Yeah.
And that's when I didn't know how to rig. I was using a quick strike, not the single hook rig.
Yeah.
I was trying to use a quick strike, but I didn't know that I would take that treble hook and put it under the backbone of the sucker.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And you're never going to tear that hook out of the sucker and through a sucker's backbone.
Right, right.
Maybe a shiner you can rip through their backbone or a smelt. And I'd put the single hook through the hard part of their nose.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to rip those hooks out if you tried, which I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. So had I known how to properly rig a sucker, I still think back, would have I know... It had to be a 50-plus-inch fish in the end because it just felt enormous heavy weight.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a spot on Oconomowoc Lake, in the Little Lake on Oconomowoc Lake, there's this point that comes out, and it comes out quite a ways. It's, whoever lives there has got a perfect spot for fall muskie fishing because that thing comes out, and about 30 feet from where this point is, or maybe even less, 20, 30 feet, it drops down to over 30 feet of water. I mean, it's right off of this point, deep water, both sides, right off. Oh, my goodness, does he have a spot.
That's the ideal type of spot to work a deep sucker this time of
year. Years ago, I had my friend Sal out, and he caught his first muskie there with me. We were going past this area. It was cold out. It was late fall and that, and we were dragging the suckers through there. I had them at different depths. And he got one on and set the hook, and then we had a little line tangle there. Anyway, he caught it. It was a 39-incher, but it was very distinct. It had you know what a derp is? A derp mouth, derp fish. It's where the upper lip is not as extended as
a
the
derp?
Lower one. They call it a derp.
Is that
derp.
A real word?
In bass fishermen down south, it's called a derp, yeah.
Spell that.
Where the upper lip is not as far out protruding as the lower lip. Anyway,
I just call that an overbite.
No, it's the opposite.
Underbite.
It's the opposite. Well, anyway, so we took we saw the fish, Dave. I don't know if we took any pictures or not, but anyway, we released it. The week later on Lake Link, there was a guy who caught a muskie on Oconomowoc in the Little Lake, and he had a picture of it.
And it had a derped lip.
And it was the same muskie. You couldn't mistake it. It's the same fish. Now, when Sal caught it, it was 39 inches. A week later, this guy caught it and said it was 42. I know it wasn't 42.
Yeah, you know, they got a fast growing rate there on...
Danny... Well, we got a lot to talk about. You're going to be here next week, right?
I'll be here next
week.
The only Saturday I won't be here is opening a gun season.
Opening a gun season, all right. All right, well, that's all I got, Danny.
That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skipperbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, watch out for deer, guys. Keep an eye because they'll be running. Talk to you all next week. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.